Welcome. A Merry Christmas to all. A few announcements as we get started, and we welcome you to this wonderful worship service as we invite God into our hearts, and most importantly, the Christ child. Please don't forget, next Sunday we will have worship as normal at 10:30 a.m., and at 9:15 we will have a combined Sunday school class with a free breakfast. So if you're interested in learning more about Shenrun, that would be a great opportunity for you to come join us. And also for our children's lesson next week, since it is the last Sunday of the month, our kids are always invited to bring their toys, and since it's the Sunday after Christmas, they can bring in one of their Christmas toys as I put together our entire children's lesson based on what they bring. Please don't forget, for those of you that are members, our church council will be on January 20th following worship. It'll be a potluck to follow immediately after worship. And for our young people out there, if you're looking for a Moravian event to be a part of, our fifth annual Moravian Bowling Bash will be at Wabash Lanes from 6 to 9 on Sunday, January 20th. A great opportunity for young people, for families to get together and to enjoy each other in Christian fellowship. Before I share with you some other things, I want to point out our poinsettias that were donated this year. One was given by Abby Bennington in memory of Lillian Robinson and Ed Bennington. For Michael and Debbie Bleninger, in memory of Charles and Catherine Ebright, Robert Bleninger, and Norman Fox Bernard. For Terry and Linda Bonnell, in honor of their grandkids. For Becky Canfield and McKenna and Jacob Cannon, in memory of Ted and Catherine Canfield. For Victoria Eichel and families, in memory of Charles and Catherine Ebright, Rodney Eichel, Howard and Maxine Eichel, and Quentin Miller. For Barry, Audrey, and Harley Hun, in memory of Jim Sr. and Cora Hun. For Norman and Cheryl Cadry, in memory of Robert and May Fainer, Isabel Aaron Castor, and Joe and Margaret Cadry. For John and Stacy Castor, in honor of Ryan, Tyler, and Brandon Castor, Norman and Cheryl Cadry, in memory of Isabel Castor, Bob and May Fainer, and Sandy Castor. Emily and Ben Lippert, in memory of Emily's father, Warren Toybert. For Chloe and Paige Martin, in honor of Jane Martin, our church, in memory of Dean and Margaret Renner and Ed Martin. Carolyn, Bill, and Charlotte and Nick Menapace, in memory of Eleanor Menapace. Doug and Angie Miller, in honor of Alicia and Justin Miller, our parents and grandparents, in memory of Melvin Yoder and Wallace Miller. For Rick and Joyce Swaldo and family, in honor of Fred and Donna Swaldo, in memory of Earl and Anna Heath. For Floyd and Delene Swinderman, in honor of our church family, in memory of all the saints that have gone before us. For Millie and Randy Weston, in memory of Howard Weston. We give thanks to all of you who livened up our sanctuary with our poinsettia, and we give thanks to many more of you who are thinking of the saints that have gone before us and for many special family members of your own. At this time, I invite you to stand and greet one another.
Merry Christmas, ladies.
At this time, I invite you to remain standing as I will invite forward Tom and Jean Ann Banker, who will light our four Advent candles and our Christ candle.
Jesus who comes to live with us and among us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas awakens us to this gift. We do not need to look for God. God has come to us and continues to come through the Spirit of Jesus.
Thank you, Tom and Jean Ann. You all may be seated.
Please stand for the call to worship. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song of music. He will judge the world.
Please remain standing as we sing together, O Come All Ye Faithful. and our minds over to a time of prayer. In our prayer concerns, we remember the family of Ray Mickley, and we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope. Ray's wife was a secretary at Buckeye, and many of her friend of the Northrop family, and we continue to prayers of comfort and support around them, and also for the family of the retired Reverend Warren Wagner, who passed away yesterday on hospice care in Westchester, Ohio. He's a member of the Graceham Moravian Church, where Sue Koenig, one of our former pastors, is a member, and we offer our prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to them. Prayers for those in Indonesia who have been affected by many natural disasters. But most importantly, let us give thanks this Christmas season for those of the loved ones that we are surrounded by, that we are blessed with. Most of all, I look at this sanctuary and I see it full of people who come from different walks of life, different areas of our country, people who have traveled to be with family, many people who are not Moravians. And today, whether we're Moravian, Lutheran, Methodist, any denomination, we remember first and foremost that we are children of God, and we celebrate the light of Christ that has been lit within each one of us. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come before you as we arise out of the spirit of Advent, this season of waiting, waiting for your coming, waiting for our reconciliation for you, waiting for your peace to take over this world. And we celebrate that you have already been here, that your presence has been felt in a manger in Bethlehem. And from that day forward, you changed the world. You flipped the world upside down and took us from people being focused on money and power and control to people who are centered on faith, hope, and love. Help us to always sustain that. And remember first and foremost that the Christ light needs to be lit within our hearts so that we can share it with all whom we encounter. Because we encounter so many different people from so many different walks of lives. But your light shines through each one of us, and we are so grateful for that. And we ask you to be with those this Christmas season who are sick, who are hungry, who are grieving, who are in need of faith, love, or friendship. We think of those who have no home, and remember that you, the Son of God, was told that there was no room at the inn, and help each one of us to be more compassionate, to make room for others. And remember that we are at our best selves and we are serving God and our neighbor. May that light shine within us every day. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Becky. Our second gospel reading tonight comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told about them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. May the reading of God's holy word reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to our love feast. A love feast in the Moravian Church is not a sacrament, but a celebration that if we are faithful to God, if we are willing to share God's love, truly beautiful and miraculous things can happen, because we remember that nothing is impossible with God. So let us share love feast with one another. We'll sing a couple hymns. You'll hold on to the elements or the love feast elements that you have been given, and then we'll share grace together, and then you can partake. join together in the Moravian table grace. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Amen. Enjoy. Thank you. as we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. It gives us great joy to share that half of our offering tonight will be going to the Dover New Philly Food Pantry, which helps so many people in need during all seasons. And the other half will be going to help our church pay for our denominational assessments. And it's important as we think about this season of giving that we pay attention to that verse that so many people remember in Luke, that there is no room at the inn. And it reminds us to open our hearts. For if Christ returned to our world 2,000 years later as a newborn in a family that was struggling to make ends meet, we would hope that our society would be more compassionate, would make room not only in the inn, but in our hearts to help that child be the best child it could be. So at this time, let us give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Please rise.
Let us pray together the prayer of dedication. Prince of Peace, tonight we turn our hearts to your dear manger, and we remember that you were born with few material possessions. Help us to share our abundant blessings of the community with those in great need. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, I invite our children to come forward for a children's chat. Come on up. You can all sit down right here. We're good. Let our choir sneak on by here. So good evening. I was about to say good morning, but good evening. How's everybody doing? Is everybody finally excited Christmas Eve is here? Rylan, what were you going to say? Okay, we got to wait till Christmas morning. We're getting it. It's getting closer. So I want you guys, I'm going to ask you a question. What is your favorite thing about Christmas besides getting presents or receiving gifts? Tyler? Jesus' birthday, that's a good one. Daniel? Family? Paige? Getting candy in our stockings, that's pretty good. Rylan? Spending time with family and friends, that's a good one. Aubrey? Having a nice Christmas with your family. Ian, what were you going to say? Spending time with family. Brandon? Getting that, yep. Araya, is it just you? You have a big family Christmas, don't you? Yep, you get to celebrate with all of them. So I want to show you guys one of my favorite parts of Christmas so I can find it hiding in my jacket. It's something that we're going to do in our worship service in a little bit, and it's when we do a candlelight service. And I've grown it since I've become a pastor. One of the coolest things about my job is that I get to stand from here and I get to see 100 candles lit. And they celebrate a lot of things. So I want to just go through you what this symbol is. First of all, can you guys tell me what a symbol is? What does it mean if something symbolic? Rylan? Close. Paige? What it means. It stands for something more than what you see. So this candle is not just a candle because it's a symbol of God for us. So does anybody know what the white on the candle symbolizes? Rylan? God's body. Close. Daniel, were you going to say something? Okay. The white actually stands for purity, God's purity, because Jesus was perfect. He was the Son of God. And then the other one, this is close, the red. What do you think the red stands for? Daniel? God's blood, because what did God do for us? Paige? He shed his blood. He sacrificed for us so that he could live again. And so we light all of this as a reminder of the Christ light within us. And it shares with us a very important Bible verse in the Bible that we celebrate as we light our candles. Would somebody like to read for me? You got to read one verse. Tyler, you want to come here? I want you to come up here, and I want you to read Matthew 5, verses 14. Right there. So you are the light of the world.
You are the light of the world, and the city on
a hill.
The hill cannot be hidden.
That's good. That's good right there. That's perfect. Thank you. So he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. What do you think Jesus meant by that? What does that mean he thinks of people? Aubrey? It means that he loves us, that we are good. So when we light our Christ light, we share it together as a community. So when you guys get this light today, you can remember that not only that Christ is the light of our world, but when we shine our Christ light together, we are all the light of the world. And that's what Jesus tells us. And it's our job to share that. And that's why when you see a candlelight service, if somebody's candle goes out, what does the person next to them do? Do you think they blow another one out? No, they light their candle. They light the candle of the person next to them. Because we all help each other out. We take care of each other. And that's what we remember in a candlelight service, that Jesus is the light of our world. And we don't need to hold a lighter, because we can share our candles, and that's what makes it special. All of our light comes from the Christ light. And we get to share that. So let's get in our circle and let's pray together. And then we have some candy canes for you. Put that in there. So let's get in a circle. Let's hold hands and let's say a prayer. Will you pray with us? Gracious God, we thank you for these kids and the wonderful gift that they are for our congregation. We ask that you bless their Christmas. And help them to remember the important gifts of family, of friends, of just getting to celebrate your good name. And most importantly, the greatest gift that is given to each one of us, Jesus Christ. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So go ahead. You may remain seated as we hear a special song from our choir. Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for that wonderful rendition as we celebrate the beautiful Christmas spirit together. Let us take a moment in silence and celebrate the message that God is about to bestow upon us. Gracious and loving God, I ask that we open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire within us and always call us to action, to serve you, to love you, to remind the world of just how blessed we are to be called children of God. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So since Christmas comes around every year, sometimes we take for granted our favorite Christmas traditions. For example, we assume all of our Christmas hymns make sense to all our kids from the moment they are born. Reader's Digest shared an interesting story about a six-year-old who had an innocent gaffe in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Because instead of singing God and Sinners Reconciled, he very loudly sang above all the other kids, God and Sinners Dressed in Style. And you can't blame the six-year-old, because that makes a little more sense to a six-year-old brain than God and Sinners Reconciled. And I remember being a very similar age and singing Angels We Have Heard on High, which we have already sang. And I remember asking my mother after we sang that, who is Gloria? Why does it take so long to pronounce her names? And why does she want eggshells for Christmas? But I challenge you adults that if you were asked, what does Gloria in Excelsis Deo mean? Some of you would struggle to come up with that meaning. But luckily for you, I have that answer. It means glory be to God on high. And that is why we sing that song. But we sing that part in Latin, which can be a lot for a six-year-old or anybody to take in who haven't heard those words before. And when we think about us, it makes us remember the first gospel story that we heard today that Becky read for us. Because the first chapter of John is a gospel that defies tradition. We expect all the gospels to begin with the nativity of Jesus. But John starts at the beginning. I'm not talking about the beginning, the very beginning, from the beginning of the world. And I would argue that there are three creation stories in the Bible. The first two are in Genesis, of course, but the third one comes from the first chapter of John. John 1, verses 2 to 5 said, He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In John, the presence of Christ sustains all life and life within the world. And I have a feeling it was one of the reasons that Count Zinzendorf, the founder of the renewal of the Moravian Church, found John to be his favorite gospel. In fact, he loved the Gospel of John so much that when he translated his own version of the New Testament from German, he put the Gospel of John before Matthew, Mark, and Luke because of the imagery in John, how easy and accessible it is to understand. And Christmas is a season where our traditions become more essential than we realize. I know I consider myself to be flexible in my traditions, but a few years back in seminary, when I was visiting a church for Christmas Eve, I cringed when I saw Joy to the World was not the closing hymn. You know, there's actually churches that end their worship without Joy to the World as their closing hymn. To me, that's like going to a Bon Jovi concert and you hear Living on a Prayer right at the beginning. You can just walk out right after that because you heard the greatest hits. And I'm sure there are some family traditions in each of your households that are non-negotiable. With mom, with grandma, with dad, that you know you have to be there at that place or time because it has lived on even longer than possibly you have been alive. Because it's important for all of us to remember, especially on Christmas Eve, that traditions can change and adapt with the times. See, I was a little upset that service that I saw did not end with my favorite Christmas hymn, but that did not keep the Christ light from glowing from my candle. In fact, sometimes a change in tradition can be good because it reminds us of what is essential. And it is Jesus whom our eyes should be fixed upon, especially on Christmas Eve. And I know a hot topic in our community this year is the nativity scene being taken down in Dover. And I know many good Christians are angry that this tradition has ended. However, maybe what this situation needs is a little Christ-like compassion. Let me give you an example. When the Supreme Court ruled that mandatory school prayer was unconstitutional, two mothers had very different reactions. One mother wrote her message in the local Voice of the People with a lot of anger and exclamation points. Her message was simple: love God or feel my wrath. But another mother took her child on her knee and said, I'm going to put extra money in your lunch account. If you see one of your classmates in need and they look hungry, I want you to buy them lunch. No questions asked. Brothers and sisters, which of these mothers kept Jesus in the schools? Love your neighbor as yourself. And Christmas is the greatest tradition to remember that God loves to work in non-traditional ways. Nothing about the Christmas story was what people expected or hoped. The Son of God shouldn't have been born to a first-time teenage mother. He shouldn't have been a poor kid from Hicktown, Bethlehem. He should have been a warrior of freedom and not a prince of peace. But God loves to creep in those unexpected places to remind us once and for all that nothing is impossible with God. And I encountered this story on Facebook that I want to share with you that was really touching with me, that Nancy Gavin wrote about how God came in an unexpected way into her husband's life in an article of Women's Day magazine. She shared that her husband, Mike, hated Christmas. Not essentially Christmas, but the materialism of Christmas, this constant need to buy stuff and fill up our schedule. And she talked about how one Christmas season they went to their 12-year-old son's Kevin's wrestling meet. And they watched their son's team defeat pretty easily, a team that scored 0 points. And this team was sponsored by an inner-city church. And it bothered Mike that the team that they faced could not even afford the proper headgear that most wrestling teams take for granted, a safety necessity for wrestlers. And Mike loved kids, and it broke his heart to see this losing team from the inner city so dejected, so defeated. So therefore, his wife Nancy went to the local sports store and bought wrestling headgear for this team. And on Christmas, instead of giving Mike a ton of presents, she placed a white envelope on the tree and said this was her gift to Mike. And in that white envelope, she explained what she had done, this act of generosity, by donating this wrestling headgear as an act of love for her husband on Christmas. And Mike loved it. It was the greatest gift that he had ever received on Christmas. And this became a family tradition every year to fill up their Christmas tree with white envelopes that showed the compassionate gifts that their family had given. And unfortunately, a few short years later, Mike passed away from cancer. But his children still fill his family Christmas tree with white envelopes, and that tradition proudly lives on. And so when we hear stories like that, it makes me wonder, what if local churches responded to the war on Christmas not with anger, but with compassion, as Christ taught us to? What if instead of protest, we filled the beautiful trees in our own sanctuaries full of white envelopes? I mean, imagine, look at how huge this tree. And imagine if we filled it next year. How do you think our community would change from that? Because I have a feeling that an unexpected act of compassion would make the Christ light burn brighter than any nativity ever could. Because Christians have nothing to fear when they let the light of Christ shine within. We have nothing to fear. We can stand with resolve as the angels inform the shepherds. Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you news of great joy for all the people. And we have good news to share with the world. Our salvation has already been won by our Lord and Savior. And we get the privilege of living in a world that gets to bask in the glow of his tremendous victory. So let us light a candle in honor of the greatest Christmas present of all, Jesus Christ. And there is something special about a wonderful Christmas Eve candlelight service, because for a moment, we get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And during a Christmas Eve candlelight service, we don't care who has the biggest candle or the fanciest red trim, but we realize that all our lights must shine together in order for Christ's light to shine the brightest from all of us. And we are vigilant in taking care of one another. If one of our flame goes out, a friend or even a stranger stands ready to relight our flame. Imagine if we took care of our neighbor like that every day, waiting for the opportunity to help them out, waiting for the opportunity to serve. What would our world look like today? What if we followed in the footsteps of Jesus and made compassion a way of life, a reason for breathing? And I have a feeling, brothers and sisters, that is a Christmas gift we could give back to God long after we extinguish our candles. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for being the light of our world. And we ask you today to help us to share compassionately, to remember that compassion is our greatest source of love, and that when we do it in your name, beautiful things can happen. For we know that you are a miraculous God. Nobody thought that Mary, this teenage mother, would give birth to the beautiful Son of God, and this little servant from Bethlehem would become the person that would change the world and change our hearts. But to this day, millions of people worship him and remember that when we put Jesus in our hearts, we know the love of God, for we remember that God is with us, for us, and around us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, it is time to let our light shine together. beautiful view, brothers and sisters, right now. I can tell you, it never gets old. So let me share with you the words of our benediction. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Be born to us this night, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. May the light of your life be kindled in us and lead us to the shining truth of God with us, God for us, and God in us. Amen.